Welcome to YA at Any Age, a podcast where adults talk about their love for young adult culture, TV shows, and film. Here are your hosts, Abel and Andrea.
Welcome to YA at Any Age, episode 18. We're talking about mental issues today, so it's going to be a pretty intense episode, I think.
Kind of important, though, I think.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good. We'll make as light as possible of the situations that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, and I do think it's like important, like you said, for shows like these to be, representing these issues and showing them as something that like everybody has. Like it's representing them, and it's making it seem like it's not like a weird thing, you know, because it is, it's more common than you think for someone to have like a mental disorder.
Yeah, like a lot. And some people hide it very well, and they don't even know that they have it. So
yeah, and it's also like a huge, it encompasses like a lot of different things. Also, like when we say mental disorders, we're talking about a huge amount of things under like this big umbrella. That's like our umbrella term. Mm-hmm. So like we're talking, we're gonna go from like actual physical health problems to like, yeah, the mental problems, like the chemical imbalances in your brain, up to and including like personality disorder, like suicidal issues, self-harm, depression, addiction. Yeah.
And just
we're going to cover all that today.
And just to be clear, we're not doctors or therapists. So these are just like our opinions, not facts.
Not even close. Yeah.
We just have to say we're not giving advice. We're just saying what we see or what we think. That's all.
Yeah. Okay. So, and it's our shows that we watch, like our YA shows. Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's get into it. Cool. And I'm just also going to say that there's going to be like this overarching idea of the fact that like a lot of these mental issues, they're like chemical imbalances in your brain, and they can be triggered by like pressure from like society or your parents, or other like traumatic events that happen in your life. But Abel and I were discussing before we were going to get into this episode that, they are there before these things happen. It's just a matter of being like triggered.
Yeah. They're like kind of like dormant, and something happens and kind of sets it off, or they are existing, they're just not as exaggerated until something happens, and then you're like, whoa, it's in your face, kind of.
Yeah, because a lot of these shows, it can make it seem like the events in these shows caused these people to like go down these roads, but we both don't think that's the case. Yep. Like it's already there. Yeah. It's just a matter of bringing it out. All right. So I wanted to start with talking about like Jesus in The Fosters, because he's a character that he has health problems, and his health problems started like before because right now he's going through like a TBI, which is a traumatic brain injury. And so in the previous seasons, what he had before was he had ADHD, and he took pills for those. And if he didn't take his pills, so like that's another thing with like medication, mm-hmm. right? It's like tons of people live with like ADHD,
yeah,
or like ADD or whatever. And they're totally able to live like normal lives and everything. And it's a thing where if you have, if you take medication, that can cause health problems, actually. So you're taking medication for like issues like ADHD, And that taking that medication in turn can cause its own problems.
Has like its own side effects and.
Yeah, like if you don't take them properly, if you don't take them at the right time, at the same time, if you take too many or not enough or whatever. And yeah, so before he would have like problems where he wouldn't be taking them. He wouldn't be taking his like ADHD pills, and then that would cause him to like pass out or something like that, right? Mostly because like Mariana would be taking. Do you want to stop?
No, it's okay. Sorry if you're watching the video, guys. No, it's my. I'm living with like relatives. Sorry, I don't think I talked about it on this podcast, and so now it's like I lived alone, and Andrew's like looking at me. If you're just listening to the audio, Andrew's looking at me, and I'm like waving my hand, like go away. Sorry,
just
Andrew.
Someone off screen.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah, and it's sometimes it's brought on by like Mariana, his sister. She'll be like, we're gonna get into that when we talk about addiction, but she will be taking his pills, and he. In turn won't be because he'll be covering for the fact that she's taking them. And mm-hmm. So he won't be taking his pills. And he got into medical problems because of that. If you remember,
yeah.
This is like back in, you know, season, like earlier seasons. So I feel like with Jesus's character, it's been like I feel like it's escalated kind of his like health problems. And now we're at like probably the worst moment in Jesus's life with his like health problems, I would say.
Yeah, and like he's suffering right now from TBI, but like I was also thinking like pair that with his ADHD, like how does, you know, like I wonder how his brain is, how is he getting his life back together when he's already suffering from an ADHD disability and then having this, you know, traumatic injury to your brain, that like, how does that work? You know, I guess doctor
that's support.
Could, like, you know,
support is how he's getting through it, I would say, because he's got a good family behind him, backing him like the whole way. So I feel like that's how he's getting through it right now.
And I feel like his like right now, you know, how he's like acting out a lot, like when he gets frustrated or whatever, he kind of lashes out and he can't help it. That's also, I feel like, a part of his ADHD not being under control right now. I think that probably escalates his emotions already. They're a little bit, you know, people with ADHD sometimes are a little bit more emotional or irrational. Mm-hmm. Or so I feel like that probably heightens it as well. So probably that's what we're seeing, how he lashes out.
But it's also
so quickly.
A side effect, too. It's a side effect of having a TBI as well. Mm-hmm. I was actually just watching the episode today where... So how his TBI happens is it starts with like his, it's actually not related to like his health problems. He gets it going by like being an idiot and working with power tools that he doesn't know how to use. And, a nail ends up getting like embedded in his skull. Like, I think it goes up through his nose or something. Gets embedded in his skull. It's crazy. He didn't even notice it. Because he was lucky. It managed to miss his brain and not hit any of the nervous system. And he's like, they leave it there because they're like, you know, they have to be really careful with that kind of thing. It's, you know, if it's not causing harm, just like don't touch it. Like it can't be aggravated. But of course, it gets aggravated when he gets to do like a fist fight with Nick. So that's how his TMI comes about. And I was watching that episode today where he gets in the fight with Nick, and he has those major seizures, and he ends up having to have that brain surgery to stop the swelling from his brain. Like it can crush his skull. Like it's crazy. Mm-hmm. They say that the side effects of this, his TBI, is that he's going to have to like relearn everything. So he's going to have to learn how to walk, talk. We see later that he has to learn, like he lost the ability to read. He has to relearn how to read. There's changes in his personality and mood swings.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if his ADHD, like they haven't talked about it, I don't think, but, I'm not sure if that contributes.
That's what I'm saying. I wonder if it like just heightens it, like makes it the condition worse.
Because they should actually, they should like address that, like how, like those two things together, how that would affect
because you know,
his
like
recovery, right?
When Mariana was taking it and then she stopped taking it, she like crashed and was like emotional and cranky when she had it, when she was addicted to him. So like you,
and that, I wonder, that is medication too. Like if you don't take it properly, like I was saying, like you can not only like experience like health problems, but you can also experience like mental problems and you're you don't think rationally or you like freak out or crash or whatever. So it's just interesting with taking medication as well, because that can come with its own health problems. Like even though it's trying to solve a problem, it comes with more if not done properly, or if you're not taking the right one. Yeah.
So. And you know what's crazy? It's like all of this problem that Jesus is going through, and then you figure, you know, he's suffering from depression as well, on top of all of these problems. It's because of he's like beating himself up over things that he can't control. He's frustrated with himself, so you know that's putting him in a depression. So it's like,
and I think because before he didn't have depression, like before this happened, he was a very like I would say a very like happy, regular like and I'm not saying that like depression is normal, because it's totally normal, totally normal. I have it. It's just that he seemed like a normal teenager is what I'm trying to say, like a very like happy
for the most part, because obviously like you say teenagers they have their mood swings or whatever, but his overall personality was like I don't know, like you said, happy and
kind I would say like because I was trying to like get across that he's like a typical boy, right? So he's having like he's got his girlfriends and he's like exploring himself sexually and he's, you know, into sports and maybe instead of like normal, maybe typical is what I'm trying to say, like the typical boy, young like teenage boy. But yeah, I would say like he has got a good life and everything, and he was happy. And after this, it's gotten him to a point where he does suffer from depression, for sure. Yeah.
And I that's just a lot for like one person to go through. That's why I do like the Fosters, how they have like shown us his journey isn't like he's in an accident and then the next week he's like, I recovered. Like we're seeing this long drawn out process. Like, and I would like to see though, how I would like to see like his ADHD, like I would like that to be brought up. Like how, you know, like how is it affecting? Like, cause it has, you know, ADHD comes from your brain, and if your brain is injured, is it magnified? Like, you know what I mean? Like just what's happening now? I just want to know like a little bit more, I guess, but.
Yeah, well, they are, yeah, they're exploring it in a way where it's, like, realistic, so you don't get over a TBI that easily, and, like, what does a person go through to try to, like, build their life back together after something like that happens?
Yeah, we're really, like I said, we're going through it all. We're not, he's not just, like, one week to the next, and like, okay, well, hey, Jesus is covered, like, he... You know, it's not like it's not like our shows in the 90s where something would happen in one episode and it was like resolved all in the same episode. It's not like that.
Yeah. I'm so happy it's not like that.
Like Saved by the Bell, Jesse's breakdown moment, you know, like.
Yeah, it literally lasted one episode. It was crazy.
30 minutes and they figured it out.
Yeah. And when we get into addiction, we'll like talk about it too, how it, you know, like we've talked about this before. But also, but like, if you have addiction, you relapse. So, if a character has an addiction on a show, you shouldn't only see it once.
Yeah.
You know, like Jesse, like what happened with Jesse on Saved by the Bell. You shouldn't, it shouldn't just crop up once randomly and then disappear forever. And I like how, it's showing that, you know, like it's very realistic that one health problem can lead to another one, can lead to another one. So yeah, with Jesus's TBI, he's experiencing like depression because he's getting really frustrated. He's feeling like you know, he can't, he's saying that, like, these are his words, that he can't be fixed. And he's, yeah, we see him crying and
he can't
breaking
be
breaking down a lot.
Yeah, and he can't be a teenage boy. You know, like, he, like you say, he's exploring himself sexually and everything, and he, like, wants to do it, but his girlfriend's like, hold up, and you know what I mean? Like, it's just, that gives him more frustration.
He's never
going
to be the same either. Like, I don't think we're going to see him the way that he used to be before this either. Because it's changed him, for sure, I think. And I really like it. I like seeing his character, like, develop and evolve. It's like, his story, like, he's become my favorite character because it's such a, like, it's really, really real, and it's, we're just seeing him grow up and change and become, like, a man and go through things. Mm-hmm. Really create, like, some of them are really hard things to go through, but that's what, you know, builds character.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to, let's talk about Mona a little bit from Pretty Little Liars.
Mona,
she has a plethora of issues, I would say. But her biggest thing, she definitely has multiple personality disorder. And I believe, like, they confirm that in the show. I also think that she has an inferiority complex. And I think that a lot of the characters that we're going to be talking about have an inferiority complex. I'm going to, like, go into more after this, but that is, like, one that we see a lot. I feel like I'm, like, diagnosing people right now.
We're diagnosing all our favorite characters.
It's strange how they, like, what do you think of how they initially introduce Mona's multiple personality disorder? Because the way that they do it, they present it in, like, a tribute to Hitchcock, like, a tribute to Psycho kind of thing, where she's, like, she has a whole Norman Bates scene, just like the Psycho film, where he's, you know, where Norman Bates, at the end of the movie, if you've ever seen Psycho, he has that moment when he's been institutionalized after everything's gone down, and it's that moment where he's talking about how he wouldn't hurt a fly. And he definitely has multiple personality disorder because he's, like, his mother. So he's himself, but he's also his mother. He's, like, taken on her personality. It's, like, a different, but it's different. Norman Bates is really different from Mona.
I just, like, you just dropped a bombshell on me. I did not know that Bates Motel was, like, a prequel, that's what I gathered from, to that movie Psycho.
You didn't know that?
Oh my god, sorry. That was just, you were, like, talking, I'm like, wait a minute. Like, what? Like, what? Wow. Okay, well, that's a bombshell.
I don't watch Bates Motel, but I know of it.
Oh my god. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that would be related. Have you not seen Psycho?
No, but I just heard about it. I just didn't put two and two together. Like,
yeah, if you've seen, like, I would say primarily Psycho, but, like, I think that Pretty Little Liars definitely, you know, they pay tribute to Hitchcock a lot. And that this was, like, the most obvious one. This is in the finale of season two, when we find out that Mona's A. There's, like, a lot of other parts, too. There's, like, the whole, what's it called? The whole Lost Woods Resort. That is based off of Bates Motel, and they have whole scenes, like, from the movie Psycho in that episode.
That's crazy. I did not know that.
Yeah. So what do you think of, like, that presentation of her personality disorder, like, doing it in that Hitchcock way? Do you think that, like, takes away from the seriousness of it, or do you think it's, like, a good way to do it?
I think it was a good way to do it, because I think Mona's character was just, like, I don't know, like, her character just, I think it just played well with her character.
Mm-hmm, it, you know, fits, like, yeah.
And, like, from the moment we met Mona, like, I just knew something was off about her, like, Yeah. She just seemed like fake as fuck, you know. I was like, can I cuss? But I forgot which podcast we're recording. I was like, you know, I don't know, something was off about her. And then I thought it was okay.
Yeah. And like I said, like, she's different from Norman Bates, but he also has multiple personality disorder. It's just that his is like he's taken on his mother's personality after she's died. So it's like he hasn't accepted. Yeah, he hasn't accepted that she's dead. So he takes her personality and he becomes her. So he like kind of he has both. So it's different. So Mona's got like a bunch of different personalities. Like when I think about it, like she has nerd Mona, which is how we first see her. We see her as like that popular it girl personality that she has. But I feel like that one is more of a, I feel like that's like a structure that she's built. It's not, I don't feel like that one is, like, I feel like it is part of her. Like, actually, all of these personalities I feel like are part of Mona. It's just that I feel like that one is more constructed. Like, what she wants herself to be, I feel like. And especially in the time when she is that popular it girl, that's what she wants to be in that moment. Right, because that is when she, you know, when Allison's gone and she's trying to like kind of take over her life a little bit, and that's like when she is A, right? So there's also like the A Mona, and that's like kind of the Mona that's like gone off the deep end. Like that's the Mona that
that is the scary Mona that is like can cause
that's
some
the one
shit.
That's out of control and like that tortures people, and it's definitely a part of her too. It's a part of her that you know, we saw when she gets her hands on the Liar's Lament, that game, in the last season, and she's afraid of that part of herself, and a lot of us are afraid of that part of herself. And it's an addiction. That's an addictive part of herself as well. Like that personality of hers has an addiction problem, but it's an addiction to playing with people's lives, like basically being God.
Yeah, she really does. Lives. She really does. Like, she wants, I feel like she sees someone and then her disorder, like, you know, like you see someone, like, okay, I'll see Beyonce. I'm like, oh, what it would be like to be Beyonce for the day. I feel like Mona, she sees Beyonce and she's like, I am Beyonce. You know, like that's the difference between us, like the two. Like, I, you know, I can be like, oh, I wonder what it's like. But I feel like when she sees someone, she like becomes that person. Then, you know, like she was very much like Allison, or, you know, and then she was like Hannah. And it was, now she's like older, like I'm getting very like Spencer vibes. And, you know, so it's
well,
just
like, that's the other part of her. The, I call it like the smart tech nerd. It's like there's nerd Mona, but there's also like the smart tech nerd Mona that's a lot like Spencer and actually smarter. I would say smarter than Spencer, and that's saying a lot because Spencer's a genius.
Yeah.
So I would say they're both geniuses, and I feel like that, like, there's the question of like which Mona is the real Mona, and I don't know if that's really a question because I feel like they are all part of her, right? It's just that the smart one, like the tech nerd one, is the one that she is when she's like quote unquote healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she's like, when she's okay.
When she's like balanced. I feel like I feel like when she's the smart Mona, she's able to concentrate and put all her energy into one, like to being smart. You know, like I feel like that's kind of
Mona. Well, that's the Mona that can function in society. That's the Mona that gets a, like, we saw her get like a career going in politics. That's the Mona that's like the you know, get things done person who can like, she's like, she has potential to like have, you know, like she has social skills as that Mona even. Like she makes network connections. She like can network Hannah with people, and like, she's like a sort of like go get her done kind of like a go getter person as that Mona. Like that is a Mona that can even like not just function in society, but like be successful. So, yeah, that would be the Mona that's like the healthy Mona. But yeah, I like the nerd Mona is the one that we see at the beginning. And I don't feel like that is her either, because that is her like learning. That's her trying to figure out who she is, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, circumstances caused her to, it seems like, you know, Allison kind of spurred her on into this like spiral where she, you know, was trying to figure out who she was. But yeah, like what we were saying before, like it's complicated, but she has this anyway. This multiple personality disorder is in her anyways. It's just that Allison caused her to, it brought it out of her.
Yeah, like Allison was just such a bitch, and so like Allison's a strong personality, and I feel like mm-hmm. I said, Mona wants to become this person, I think, in her head. Like, she becomes this person, so I think that Allison and the real Mona are on two different sides of a spectrum, and so I think that, like, going to become, like, Allison, kind of, that brings out Mona's, like, disorder, like, drastically, you know what I mean? Like, we see it kind of big time because of the real Mona and her being on different sides of the spectrum. You see, like, that dramatic shift.
Yeah, and we see that separation of, it's interesting, too, because, like, everybody has all these different sides to them, too. Mm-hmm. Like, but where you have multiple personality disorder, that's when you can, like, see the separation.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I say that these are all part of her, but, like, when she is one of these, she, like, throws herself into that fully. And she, you know, we see it when she flipped the switch, mm-hmm. you know, with these various personalities. She has two major breakdowns in the show, and that's when she, like, flips them, I think. I think that her breakdowns cause her to flip the switch. It's just that a couple of them we saw, and a couple of them I think happened off screen. So, like, I think she had a breakdown that caused her to become A in the first place, which we did not see. Like, we saw her breakdown when she got institutionalized, and that's the scene that I was bringing up, the one that was a tribute to Psycho, and then she ended up getting put in Radley. And then she had another breakdown in the most recent season. This is going to be a little bit of a spoiler to you, Abel. But she got institutionalized again in the finale. So that was her second major breakdown. And we saw her revert. We saw her revert back to Nerd Mona.
Wow.
Again. So we see, we, like, recognize her different personalities, and when we, like, when she switches, we, like, know something's wrong with Mona, you know?
Like a defense mechanism, kind of.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. It's like her brain just can't take all that's happening. It's like something really intense. I'm gonna try not to spoil it for you, but something caused her, obviously, to, like, have this, breakdown, the second breakdown, and, her reversion back. It's just, yeah, it's like, it's her brain trying to, like, cope. Yeah.
She's trying to protect herself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people, yeah, that's, I can't wait. It comes out in a couple of days on Netflix, right?
It's actually today.
Okay. Sorry.
Oh wait, well, was it today or tomorrow? Tomorrow.
20th. Right?
20th. Yep. Girl, so tomorrow,
I got homework on to do, Netflix, girl.
And then Abel will be able to catch up, and we'll be able to talk about PLL. And I didn't say this at the beginning of this episode. yeah, we were supposed to talk about PLL today, but you know, it's Netflix,
Netflix and on demand are not cooperating.
I just assumed that Netflix would have, you know, things together, and we'd be able to get it out, but, like, I think the way that American Netflix works is it's a month after, like, a finale. Then they'll put it out.
It's a lot faster than it used to be.
Mm-hmm. There. Well, Canadian Netflix works a little different, too. sometimes we have to wait forever. Like, it'll be, like, a month before it'll be like several months after it's done, and then it'll be a month before a show comes back on. Like, this is what happened to me with the Fosters. They'll like give you a month to like binge and catch up if before it comes back on. Like, I don't know. I don't really know. It's just kind of like
everywhere.
But I think American Netflix, it's like a month after it's done comes out. So I wanted to talk to you about on the subject of multiple personality disorder, and I'm getting tired of saying it because it's like it's a mouthful. Betty on Riverdale, because I'm starting to think that she might also have it.
I think so too, because girl, she flipped that switch when.
Yeah,
and that was scary. See, she like, was like,
"This is what I'm saying. Like, if we can see someone flip a switch and become a different person, I would say they have multiple personality disorder." And we saw that happen with Betty. We saw it. We saw it early on, and it was kind of like it threw me. Threw me for a loop.
It shook me.
I had like whiplash. from Betty's like flip of the switch. Yeah, she just totally went dark, and I call her Dark Betty.
Yeah,
like, and I see it crop up every once in a while. I see Dark Betty, and I'm like, I'm a little afraid of Dark Betty, but I am also like, I kind of also think that she's awesome. She's just like, you know, a little too intense. It's a little too intense.
She needs to turn it down just a little.
Just take it down some notches. Like, I get what you're trying to do. Like, that guy deserved.
Yeah, he did.
Chuck deserved to. He deserved some of that, but that was like a little too intense. It was like a little much.
That was. Yeah, that I can't even. And it's kind of like, you know, like Nina Dobrev, when she played Elena and Catherine, we saw completely two different characters.
On the Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, on the Vampire Diaries. It had that been one, like, supposedly one character, but we saw those different, you'd be able to tell the different personalities, because, I mean, Catherine and Elena, look, they're the same person, but their personalities, it's like they're two different people. And so you compare that with, you know, Dark Betty and regular Betty, it's two different people that we see, but it's the same actor.
And that's really interesting, yeah. You know,
and Mona, like, the different Monas, mm-hmm. is like the same character, the same person, but it's different Mona. And it's the same thing with, like, you know, like I said, the Vampire Diaries. Is Elena and Catherine, they are completely two different characters in the show. But you compare that with, you know, this Betty and Mona, they're the same character, but you see the same kind of resemblance in their personalities. So that kind of, that's another telling sign of, like, the multiple personalities, like.
It's a good challenge, though, I think, for, like, the actors. And it's, like, a whole other level, I think. Like, I thought that, like, I loved Nina Dobrev's acting when I, like, you could really, like, sometimes I would forget. I would seriously forget that Catherine and Elena were played by the same person. Yeah. I would really forget that because I knew that they were, like, I could tell who was who.
And I loved Catherine. Just, like, everything, yeah. Her body language, her mannerisms, mm-hmm. like, literally, the way she blinked, everything about her was different. And I'm like, she's good, man.
It was really very convincing. And then this is taking it to, like, a whole other level. So it's like, yeah, for these actors who are playing characters that have multiple personality disorder, it's like, they are still, yeah, they're the same character, but they have all these layers to them, and they have to bring that out. That's like a really big challenge.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see like more of like where they take Betty, and like Dark Betty, and yeah, because they've alluded to the, you know, I think that there's going to be more, and this is like a little side note prediction thing, but like, I think that, with Jughead, you know, joining the Serpents, the Southside Serpents, we might see, you know, him and her causing a little bit of havoc together, because I feel like it could bring out her dark side, like Dark Betty, and they could be like dark together.
Bonnie,
I think that would be really Bonnie interesting.
Clyde.
Mm-hmm. And that sort of leads into my next kind of category that I have, which is suicide and self-harm and depression. Ooh. I'm kind of clumping those all together with the self-inferiority thing, because I feel like that is part of, you know, I feel like that is part of depression, like why people are depressed, they feel inferior, and it depression all often leads to self-harm, and then it's like escalates to suicide. And a little bit of Betty sort of can segue into that, because she has self-harm, I would say, because she tries to keep her dark Betty under control, but it's such like a strong side of her that it's really hard to do. So when how she keeps it under control is she causes herself self-harm, because she does that. She crushes her nails into her hand, and
that like snaps her out of it.
Yeah, like the pain of her nails digging into her palms snap her out of going.
It's very like Sebastian from Shadowhunters.
yeah, kind of. But I didn't even include him on this. I feel like I don't even know.
He ironed his hand, girl.
Sorry. No, I know, but it's his amount of mental problems is just too much for me to handle. I don't like. I don't even know where to start.
It's just... yeah, we can't.
Cause... And like it just started to come out as well on the show. And we'll be talking about that on the podcast today, when we're recording it. But yeah, like I feel like that sort of just started, so I don't really want to get into that yet. Maybe we'll bring it back up. So yeah, we also let's just get into Shadowhunters then, because it's an easy way to
because why jump not? Into because it. Shadowhunters.
And yeah, Magnus and Alec, they both. I think they're very similar in the way that they both suffer from depression and they both have suicidal tendencies and, all of that. So do you think that trying to be objective from Malik, which is really hard to do, do you think, because some people would say that bringing together two people with those problems could be bad, you know? There are people that say, like, if you put together two people with depression, they can spiral out of control, it can get bad, and it can, like, trigger each other and stuff. But I really don't believe that that's the case with Malik, and I'm not being biased, I hope, when I say that.
I think it could, I mean, but at the same time, you have someone who understands what you're going through, you have someone who has felt that way, you have someone who has, in their own way, had experiences that are very similar. I feel like they could also be helping each other if they have a healthy, like, relationship. Mm-hmm. It has to be healthy, you know, because a person who has no troubles could be just as bad for somebody with depression as a person with depression, you know, like.
Yeah, exactly. Because that person might not understand what the other person's going through, and they can get frustrated.
They could literally just be like, get up and go, you know, get up. You know, you're depressed because you're laying in bed all day. But depression doesn't work like that. Depression, like, you know, I've been through it. It's like when you wake up in the morning, you literally, your body hurts. You are in pain. And it's a mental, it's like your brain is playing tricks on you. But, like, there's nothing wrong with your body, but you feel like you're in pain. Like, the sun burns your eyes. Like, you know, like, really, you feel these physical things, but it's all coming from your brain. And I feel like somebody that doesn't get it, I feel like that could cause a problem. It's like, you know, don't be depressed. I don't know if you've ever seen this meme. It's like, don't be depressed. And then it has like the stick figure and it's like, okay, yay, everything's peachy. Like, and it has like, it's the, you know, like, it's just like being sarcastic. Like, that's not the way it works. So I think sometimes it could be bad.
Yeah, I feel like it really depends on the type of people. And a lot of people have depression. It's just, you know, how they handle it. And I feel like, you know, especially with Magnus, like he addresses this as a part of himself, and he's had many years of experience like dealing with this part of him, and he knows how to handle it, right? And whereas I feel like, you know, Alec doesn't have that experience, so I feel like I feel like it helps. Basically is what I'm trying to say, to have Magnus, because we saw Alec with like try to suffer through his depression and stuff alone, and it wasn't working. Like, I'm trying to think of like how he would cope with it. It'd be I feel like it was kind of self-harm in a way. Like, I feel like he would distract himself, I think, with, like, fighting, maybe, like, too many missions. I feel like that's the kind of thing he would do, like, just jump into fights with, like, demons and stuff.
Yeah.
And just probably put himself in dangerous path, and we would see him, like, you know, over, like, training himself, but overdoing it. Do you remember that? Like, watching him just, like, overdo it with the punching bag, and even when he was hurt.
Yep.
When he was physically hurt, with his shoulder, he was still, like, punching and training and stuff, and he was, like, hurting himself, and we saw him self-harm himself, you know, after the thing with Jocelyn happened, and it was his way of, like, trying to deal with it, so, and Magnus helped him there. Magnus knows how to deal with depression, because what you do is you talk about it. And you face it. Mm-hmm. It's just it's weird that he doesn't let it apply to himself the way that he, like, lets it apply to other people. Like, it's like he knows how to deal with it. And I think that so recently with his depression, I think he let it get a hold of him, and I feel like it made him forget that he knows how to deal with this. Because it, like, came at it. I feel like maybe this is, like, maybe this is, like, one of his biggest bouts of depression that he's had. Probably since his suicidal breakdown that he talked about that he had, that Camille broke him out of.
I also think that's a part, like, that's just, like, it goes, like, kind of perfectly together, because I feel like with depression, when you have that moment, I think that even though you know the solution, you just are, you're helpless, hopeless. Like, there is no light at the end of the tunnel. Like, even though you know, like, I need to get up, I need to do this, you just know. It's just, you know that in the back of your head, but the depression wins. So it's kind of like,
It was a lot for him to handle this time around, and actually this is where we saw Alec be the one to step up, and use what he learned from Magnus to, like, bring Magnus out of his depression this time. So that's why they work. That's why, you know, these two people with depression can work and help each other. Because we saw Alec help him in that way. Am I done here? Oh, and I just wanted to talk about, like, you know, what they've been through. Like, I feel like a lot of what contributes to their depression is, you know, like, pressures from society. Because, you know, Alec, with the fact that, you know, he's gay and that the shadow world looks down on that. And Magnus, with the fact that he's a downworlder.
Yep.
So they're both having to deal with those pressures from society. And that triggers them, I think. And their parents. Their parents do not make it any better.
No, especially parents on Riverdale.
Yeah, but, like, Alec and Magnus's parents definitely did not help their depression issues.
Yeah.
They actually magnified and made it worse. So there's that. Anything you want to add about Malik?
No, just like, I think that they work because they are understanding and they have a healthy relationship. That's all.
Yeah, just reiterate that. That's very important.
Perfect.
Yeah, and I love that they're perfect because they have these things about them that, you know, people would say aren't perfect. You know, they have issues. They are flawed. But, like, that is what makes them perfect, that they are able to, like, you know, overcome those things together. And that's why they're so amazing.
That's why they're perfect.
Okay. And with suicide as well, I wanted to bring up Nick from The Fosters.
Oh, I almost forgot him. Yeah.
He is suicidal for sure, and he's another character that his parents, well, his dad, I think he just has a single father that has brought him up, and his father just ran him down, like beat him down into the ground, and he just made him feel so inferior and awful about himself. I just feel like he just over and over and over heard from his father, like, you're not good enough. You're a disappointment to me. You'll never be anything. Right? We, like, actually witnessed him say these words to him, and he just seemed like such a non-person. Like, I'm...
Jerk.
Like, what kind of person just puts someone down like that? Like, I don't know. It almost seemed like a caricature of a person. And then in the way, like, the things that he was saying.
And then it being his dad, it's like...
I think there was only really one scene that we had between Nick and his father, and it was really hard to watch because it just... Yeah, I didn't like his character for obvious reasons, but I kind of didn't like his character because it just... It didn't really... It seemed more like a caricature of a person. Like, it seemed like... He seemed evil. Like, just... You know?
He seemed like he belonged on...
Like a villain. Like, yeah, he seemed like a stereotypical villain. It was... Yeah, he was just, like, saying... he was just, like, outright saying... There just was, like, no love coming from him at all towards his son. It was just... It was strange. But it made sense. Like, it gives you empathy for Nick's character. Because, we kind of, yeah, we, like, understand where he's coming from, and we watch him break down. Like, we see the, just kind of, like, the, what builds and builds and builds, mm-hmm. and we understand when he does break down, why. And, it's triggered by Mariana, when he thinks that she betrays him, right, by going back with Matt. She doesn't even get back together with Matt. Mm-hmm. But he thinks that, and he just, like, assumes everything, and that's what triggers it. But I feel like what really caused it, if you think about it, was the constant, you know, the constant from his father all the time telling him that he's not good enough, just like his upbringing.
Yeah, like, he was just poking and poking and poking until finally he just had this big explosion, and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like that's a case where, like, his dad brought on this whole, his whole mental issue. Like, his dad brought this on his, you know, like, maybe if he had normal parents, he would never exploded like that. You know, that's a case where that, I think that it was, like, dormant, that his disorder was kind of dormant until his dad was, like, trigger, 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 trigger.
Yeah. Yeah, and we saw him, like, first he committed arson, and then he brought a gun to school. And then it led to him being suicidal and really feeling like, you know, feeling like he had no other, because that's when you're suicidal, you feel like you have no other option, right?
Yep.
You just feel like you have nothing to lose. You've lost everything. And what else? Like, there's no way to get out of it. That's how he felt at that moment. It was like, so, you know, Mariana was probably the only thing good in his life at that time. And when he thought he lost her, it was like, okay, so what do I have? Nothing. Mm-hmm. And I already know that I'm not worth anything. So, like, without her, who am I? Like, I have nothing. I'm no good on my own. Like, that's what he's thinking, because that's what his father told him his whole life, right?
Yep.
His father actually told him he would never find anyone who would want to be with him and all this stuff. He said something about how Mariana, like, what kind of idiot would want you, kind of thing. Like, how would Mariana, like, ever want you, kind of, like, oh my god.
That was such a jerk, like a full-on jerk.
Yeah, it's just like when I say, like, his character is nuts, because it's just like, you're actually saying these things, like,
to your son.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, how can he just say these words? Like, I don't... It felt like... I don't know.
I don't know what... He needs to, like, go away.
Yeah, so. And he's still around. He's still around. Now he's trying to take over the... Like, it's his fault that the school is becoming a private school now. So, we haven't seen the last of him, and he's the worst. The worst.
We need a hate list for the Foster.
Yeah, I definitely hate him. There's nothing redeeming about him
at all.
Like, that's the thing. Like, with a lot of villains on TV, like, you see the other side. You see, like, maybe why they've become the way that they have, and that's what I mean. Like, his character, it's just like, you're just a horrible person. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no explanation on, like, why, you know, why he is that way. How can he say those things to his son and, like, sleep at night?
And think it's okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Mm. I don't know. I don't understand him. Let's talk about addiction. So, I feel like with addiction, it is brought, like, so we were talking about how, like, multiple personality disorder, when you flip the switch, it's your way of coping with crazy things that are happening. It's like you're shutting down, and it's the brain's way of trying to cope with that. Mm-hmm. It's like trying to hide away and be someone else and whatever. I feel like addiction's similar that way. It's like things become too much, and then that person dives into something and wants to escape.
Yep.
And just turn everything off. It's similar in that way. We have Izzy from Shadowhunters, and her Yinfen / vampire venom addiction. Oh, man. Oh, and I think Izzy. And I think she has overcome it. At the point that we're at right now, we did see her relapse. I don't know if she will relapse again.
I hope not, because...
I don't know. Because we already did see her relapse, but I mean, that doesn't mean it can't happen again.
Yeah.
But right now it looks like she's getting her life back on track. I don't know if that would have happened if she you know, got back together with Raphael. Like, I feel like... Oh, man. I was going to say, I feel like exposing herself to a relationship with a vampire is a bad idea, and then I'm thinking about Sizzy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh crap, wait a minute, because that could be a problem, and I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, but
I'm like it's gonna happen. Like, we all know that Sizzy's gonna happen, but we're like,
we also know
we didn't think about the Yinfen thing,
but we also know it's gonna happen with, like, Sebastian. So, I mean, that's Sebastian Simon. Ooh. So.
What do you mean?
It's a spoiler.
Oh, that. Oh, okay. Yeah, we're not. yeah, but, like, who knows? Like, I'm pretty sure that when it when Sizzy happens, that's still a spoiler.
Trying to, like, edit ourselves. Like, if we're the right, like, if we're the creators of the show.
I think it's going to happen soon, is what I'm trying to say, I guess. Yeah. I think it's going to happen soon. And, you know, it could very well be a problem. Like, even when he was with Clary, like, we saw Luke addressing, you know, be careful because, you know, you're a vampire and it could be dangerous. Mm-hmm. It could also be dangerous if he's dating Isabel, dangerous for her addiction problems. I mean, you know, Raphael was also a vampire, and there you have access to vampire venom. He also had an addiction problem. I didn't even include him, but yeah, he has an addiction problem as well, to blood, and, like, Shadowhunter blood is like
the best kind of blood. It's like the ultimate.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think Simon has that. So they wouldn't be, like, feeding off of each other, literally feeding off of each other. with their addictions, but like, I don't know. I just worry. I didn't think about this before, so now I'm worried.
Yeah, maybe the show will take it in that direction, but I know the books didn't. But also, but the Yenfen wasn't a thing, so
I don't. Yeah, that's what I mean. And I think that, you know, maybe similar to how Malik is and how they help each other with their, like, they both have issues, how and similar issues if they help each other with them. I mean, Isabel and Raphael maybe could have been that, but they, it's just, I don't know. It's, I'm, like, Simon has the experience that he's had with his mom.
Yeah.
Watching her alcoholism and how to, like, so she's also relapsed, too. We just saw in the last episode, she talked about it at the family dinner,
yeah,
about how she had her relapse with her alcoholism, and it affects her family every time. So Simon was involved with that, and he knows, so he's had experience with someone who has addiction. So maybe he can use that, and that will be why Sizzy will work. Similar to Malik in that way, a little bit. It's like, if you have experience, if you've overcome it before, because, and Raphael has overcome it before, though.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's different with him because he can't get a handle on it. Like, when it gets out of hand, he doesn't know how to.
He just dives in and, like.
Like, it's kind of like, with him, it's like cold turkey. Like, it's like he's just gotta get it. He's just gotta, like, it's gotta get him. He's gotta stop. You know?
He's been around for a long time, too, though, so.
I know. It's like, how come, like, Raphael and Izzy can't work, but Simon and Izzy can? I guess that's what I'm trying to, like, ask here.
I don't know. It's interesting, because,
like, working through my thought processes, and I'm like, why? Wait, why won't it work?
I don't know.
I feel like maybe it could. Maybe it could, but, like, I don't know.
We'll
I don't
out.
Think that Raphael trusts himself.
Yeah.
Raphael doesn't trust himself. You know, I think Izzy seemed to be like, Izzy seemed to think that maybe she could trust herself enough to, like, fight for it, but Raphael doesn't trust himself. Mm. I guess that's what it comes down to. It's like what we were talking about. It's like the person. It's the person. So, I mean, Malik could go wrong, but because Magnus is the person that he is,
yeah,
and no, it's able to work, and because Alec is the person he is, so because Alec is so understanding and everything, mm-hmm. Yeah, it really depends on the people. I think that's what it comes down to. I think I figured it out. Yeah, and we have. I feel like I grouped Spencer from PLL and Mariana from The Fosters together, kind of, because their addictions are very similar. They are both addicted to pills, like prescription pills, and it's really this similar to taking speed. And it's like staying up hours on end and you know, trying to get too many things done at once. Like, they're just like falling under the pressures from, you know, they want to be like, they're really similar, actually, the more I think about it. They're both very competitive.
Yep.
They're both very smart and competitive, and they want to, like, accomplish a lot. And it gets a little overwhelming for them sometimes, and so they go to this.
Yeah, I mean, I love sleep. Like, it's my favorite thing to do is sleep. But I also feel like if I wasn't sleepy ever, like, I could get so much done. I don't have time to sleep, but I love to sleep. So it's like,
I get
whatever.
You. I totally get you. Like, when I am sleeping and, like, when I have fallen asleep and I wake up or whatever, I want to keep sleeping and I love it. Mm. But, like, when I get sleepy, I get I'm frustrated at my sleepiness because I'll be in the middle of something and I'll be like, darn it. Why do humans have to sleep? You know? So, yeah, it's like
I could get so much more done if I just didn't sleep.
I know.
But that's not really an option. So
How many hours of your life that you sleep?
I could sleep. Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, like, their addiction is very... And they are very similar, that you point that out. Yeah. I didn't.
They are. I never really thought about it before either, but they are. And, like, that's why their addictions are what they are, because they're very similar. Okay, so like the last thing I want to talk about was like mental breakdowns. So we talked about it a little bit with like Nick from the Fosters. We saw his mental breakdown. But I wanted to bring up these ones because the ones that I'm bringing up here, they lead to being actually institutionalized. So, and I actually, Nick does get institutionalized, but he does actually. So, it's just that we don't see a lot of it, you know. We see it from Mariana's end. We see it from her side of things. Like, he'll be calling her, and so we'll see, like, her life. He's not, like, one of the main characters, so we don't see him in the institution so much. We see a little bit of it, but he'll be calling her, and that's how we know that he's in the institution. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, these characters, we, like, see them in the institution. So, PLL, we have Spencer's time in Radley. We had Mona's time in Radley, and Charlotte also. And there's also Welby, because Radley got... So Radley was demolished and turned into a, like, hotel. And then there was Welby, so that was, like, the new institution.
I feel like everyone in that show could, like, spend... They needed to spend, like, a week there.
Like, need to spend some time. I mean, there was a moment when I thought Arya should maybe spend some time in there.
Yeah, I really thought so, too, for a while
there. Like, especially recently, I'm like, oh, Arya, you might need to... You know, I don't know if you saw the episode where she's talking to the... dead body in her trunk.
Nope.
Yep. So there's that. That was the scene when I was like, okay, Arya, you might need to spend some time in Welby.
Or get a new therapist, because your therapist is not doing their job.
I was worried for her. I was like, is she having a mental breakdown? It's Spencer's time in Radley is really different from Mona and Charlotte's time. Like, Spencer with her... It was self-induced. Like, she didn't even need to be there. But she felt like she needed to be there. So, like, the doctor said that she doesn't really need to be here, but she felt that she did. So that was her own decision. She wanted to escape her life. It's another coping thing. Yep. That was a coping thing for her. It wasn't that way for the other characters.
Yeah, so they were put there.
They needed to be there. But Spencer did have a mental breakdown. She did. Mm-hmm. It was just when things, like, it just got to be too much. Like, all the A stuff, and then the stuff with Toby. That was when Toby, we thought he was A. And she even thought he died. So then it was just too much. So she had to get away. She wasn't a danger to society, though. Like, that's what they labeled Mona and Charlotte as. When they put them in Radley, like, they were labeled as... dangerous to society, and they were released when they thought they were no longer dangerous to society, which bad idea for Charlotte, as we saw. Mona, I think she was okay to be put back into society. Like I said, like before, like when we were talking about her, like she functions. She can function in society, like very well actually. But there are times when she can become dangerous to society, so it's, I don't know, her character is so, like, a lot of people love Mona because her character is such an interesting character.
I like Mona.
Me too. And it's, like, what do you think about, I wish so bad that you were caught up. Because, you know, what do you think about how she never really gets included in the group, in the PLL group? She wants it so bad, but, like, they just never trust her, and I feel like, you know, if they did, maybe she would, you know, she'd be okay. Like, it would help her, I think.
Yeah.
Every time they shut her out,
she acts out. Mm-hmm. Also, she doesn't really have the best, like, she doesn't have the best rap sheet.
Yeah, but it's like, so it's hard. Like, I see both sides. It's like, I don't know, but it would actually help them to include her, if you think about it. And we see a little bit of Polly, if you remember Polly in Riverdale, when she had a mental breakdown too, off screen. We didn't get to see it. It really triggered by her father and not letting her be with Jason. And he was trying to hide her in there, but like, she did have a breakdown. So at first, like, I was thinking about it for a while, and I'm like, okay, did he just put her in there to, like, you know, hide her away because, like, she was pregnant and all that, and he also, like, to keep her away from Jason and stuff, but she did have a mental breakdown. And that was actually more of a group home. I, like, looked it up, and it's not really a, it wasn't a sanitarium or an institution or whatever. It was more like a group home. And it was actually a, like, a religious group home. It's, like, a, with nuns and stuff.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Like, what do you think about Polly? Like, do you think she's kind of, like, do you think she's more like Spencer, sort of? Like, you know, she had a breakdown, but she's not, like, someone who really needs to be there?
I don't know about Polly.
I don't know Polly too much in the show.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know. I think she doesn't need to be there. I think that she probably broke because her parents are fucking psycho too.
Yeah,
That's another case where the parents kind of got involved. But then you compare her to Betty, and Betty, there's something wrong with her.
There's something wrong
with her. And so I feel like Polly was like kind of like a trigger kind of thing, whereas Betty is like, girl, there's something wrong with her.
Yeah, and we didn't bring this up either. Like, I think, you know, we talked about how it's a chemical imbalance, a lot of these mental problems or issues. I'm not going to say problems. Issues. But I think it's also, there's genetics that come into play too, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of that has
to do. Runs in the family. Yeah. And I mean, like, if you think about, like, Spencer and her freaking crazy family tree, I just, you know, but she has it many things that could contribute genetically to, like, you know, her having a mental breakdown, like, and she has mental illness in her family, like, with Mary. Mary was in an institution, or Mary was in Radley at one point, and then Charlotte, she's also related to Charlotte, so, I mean,
I think it, yeah. Runs in the family, girl. Like, not to make light of it, but not to make light of it.
There's sometimes, like, Melissa, too. Like, sometimes I think Melissa has, you know,
yeah. She has issues, girl. I mean,
oh, yeah.
She is. Oh, Lord. These people are crazy. Like,
yeah, but getting back to Polly, like, yeah, I think it's in her family. Her mom. Like, their mom definitely has issues. Their father has issues for sure.
Yep.
And Betty. I think Betty, we
are going to see more crazy.
I don't think we've seen the last of, like, I think Betty could really spiral out of control. So,
we're going to find out.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Betty, but I'm also, like, worried.
When is it? October 10th, I think? Or 11th?
It's, like, a long time from now.
I know. I think it's maybe 11th. I'll have to look that up. But yeah, it feels long, but actually it's not really. Yeah. Especially considering how time, like, just flies, you know?
Yeah. Is that all we have for this podcast?
Yes. And yeah, so next week we should.
In two weeks.
We should be able to talk about PLL, finally.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, we will. We'll be able to recap it.
We've, like, said it for, like, a while, but, well, yeah, we're going to, like, finally get to talk about it because it's on Netflix now.
And it gives
Abel
has
some time. He can catch up. He's got 2 weeks.
So we have some big news to share. If you are not following us on Twitter, we have another podcast called Shadowhunters Podcast. Obviously, we love Shadowhunters, so most, I think, probably 99% of the listeners of this podcast listen to us there. So, Andrea, do you want to announce it here?
Oh, I get to announce it. Okay. We are going to be talking to Jade Hasune. I hope that's how you say it.
That's how I was going to say it.
Hasune. we have to get it right for when we talk to him. He plays Meliorn on Shadowhunters, and we're just, like, over the moon.
Yeah, so we are going to be interviewing him next Thursday. So exactly a week, well, 8 days from now. So, I don't know. I'm just excited. We are nervous and excited, and so we don't have a YA at Any Age podcast next week. But Look out for us on social media, and you'll, as soon as we can get the interview up, we will. So just follow us on social media.
Yeah, and next week we'll have two episodes of the SHP podcast. So there you go. We'll have the one with Jade, and then we'll have the other one, the recap that we always do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I had an idea, but I thought, yeah, I guess we'll talk about it after. But yeah, I have an idea. So yeah, this exciting stuff. So yeah, just we've known about it for maybe 2 weeks now, I think, maybe. But we just got like final, all the details ironed out yesterday. So it was like, okay, we can announce it. So
yeah,
so that's that, guys. We will talk to you in a couple of weeks. And again, look out for us on social media and the Shadowhunters podcast, and have a good one.
Thanks for listening to YA at Any Age. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure to subscribe and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.